Last Sunday, we looked at the second part of chapter 9 and into chapter 10. In these two chapters, Solomon was giving some words of wisdom and folly. I broke chapter 10 into some main points, being fools in general, fools in high places, fools who lack balance, and fools and their tongues. Remember, fools here in Ecclesiastes is being unwise. Being unwise is what Solomon is using that for. And you may recall I left you with a couple of suggestions to help with unwise decisions, especially in relation to our tongue, I suggested. And here were a couple of them. Don't act abruptly. Think before you act, before you make a comment. I didn't throw in one, which I've used a lot of times. God has created us with two ears and one mouth. He expects us to use it in that proportion. Lots of listening and not so much talking. Second, listen to people who you think are wise and take note. And the last third one was, and most importantly, God's wisdom can save us from folly. Galatians 5 reminds us to be led by the Spirit of God. And James 1:5 says, if we lack wisdom, ask for wisdom. Well, how'd you go this week? How'd you go in your wisdom? The things that you did, things that you said, how'd you go? Lynn and I had a great opportunity to do some very wise words at 2:30 a.m. on Wednesday morning. We'd been without power for the whole of the previous day. There was a big outage where we live. Only 230 homes or something were affected. But it was a high voltage short out, which went through the whole of our house and the areas. And the whole of that day, there wasn't much going on. Some man came and took the fuse out of our switchboard. Then at 2:30 a.m. on Wednesday morning, we had a knock on the door. We've come to change your meter over. Because there was a high voltage, we got to change all the meters on all those 230 houses. And thank goodness you were home, because otherwise we wouldn't have been able to turn the power on. Now, what would your reaction have been if someone knocked on the door? If everyone was out in our neighbourhood waving at each other, going, "Hi, the meter." You know what I said? Thanks very much. This was, can I tell you, 2:30 a.m. on Wednesday morning, it was misty, it was horrible, it was cold, and these guys, I know they're getting paid a lot of money to do this, but these guys were out there, and I walked down and said, "Thanks, guys, that's a great job. Thank you for all the work that you're doing. Thanks for putting the power just back on again." So I was able to use, I could have used some other words, but I didn't. I just thought, great, thanks. So how did you go? It's a challenge, isn't it? To find ways to be able to use wise words in those ways. Well, as we move into chapter 11 today, you will start to notice actually a change in Solomon's words. This chapter marks a decisive change in the book, in that it only becomes much more positive than it has been preceding, but it also becomes exhorting as well. Solomon wants to give us some good advice. Good advice, there it is. On the internet, I found the following quotes in reference to good advice. Here's the first one. "I owe my success to having listened respectfully to the very best advice and then going away and doing the exact opposite," number one. Number two, "Don't smoke too much, drink too much, eat too much or work too much. We are all on the road to the grave, but there's no need to be in the passing lane." I like that one. "Don't be afraid to ask dumb questions. They are easier to handle than dumb mistakes." And Julie Gray actually came up to me after the service last week and mentioned this one. "Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt." I love that one. And I found these off of church signs. "Having trouble sleeping? Try one of our sermons." Here's my, "God gave us mouths that close and ears that don't. That may tell us something." from the Baptist Church. Whoever stole our AC, our air conditioning units, keep one. It's going to be hot where you're going. Honk if you love Jesus. Text while you're driving if you want to meet him. We need to get a church sign out so we can change that every week. Wouldn't it be great? Some of those, I could come up with some beauties. No, maybe not. May not be a good idea at all. Too many things in this life, including advice, actually can lead us away from God, sometimes down some dead-end streets toward the experiences of meaninglessness, frustration and absurdity, to which Solomon has been trying to speak about in this period of time. We're often blinded by the vanity of pursuits to the God who made us and loves us and calls us in relationship with him. And so in chapter 11, Solomon wants to give us some good advice before he concludes in chapter 12. And firstly, he wants to tell us to be generous. And so we find in Ecclesiastes 1, verse 1 to start off with, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it many days. What motivates us to give? For many, it's often what's in it for me. Solomon here wants to tell us that even though you may not see a return immediately, cast your bread. That bread could be money, kindness, time, just could be effort as well. Many years ago, a humble pastor served a church in a little town in the UK. His ministry was quiet, and a few souls were brought to the Lord there. Year in and year out, the work became more and more discouraging. It was only years later that the faithful minister found great joy in the knowledge that one of those he led to the Lord Christ was one called Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a man who later used by God to bring multitudes to his son. Humble service may not always be rewarded now, but it will certainly be rewarded when Christ comes. It's been interesting over this last couple of weeks when I was preparing some information just last week for a lunch. I got hold of some of the history of the Little Baptist Church, and I found a picture of a man I recall so well when Lynn and I were at Little Baptist Church years ago. His name was Harold Stone. Some of you may remember Harold Stone. Harold Stone used to be a banker, and he used to live not far from the Mitchell Estate there. But Harold Stone, every Sunday morning, was in the foyer, and every Sunday he welcomed every single person to church. And he had a list, and he marked if you were here or not. The reason being why, he faithfully, on Monday, every single week, posted the news sheet to you at his own cost if you weren't there. Every single person got the news sheet, and he posted that to every single person if you weren't at church. He did that up to 2 weeks before he died. Every single week. Harold never went on holidays. Every single week, Harold was there. Humble service. Would he be rewarded? Sure will. Was it a huge thing? No. He was just there, making sure no one missed out on their news sheet. Then we go into verse 2. Giving a serving to 7 and also to 8, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. This is an encouragement to be generous with what you have while you have the ability to be generous, but not to give with the attitude, well, that's stored in the bank. But Solomon just goes on to really say, for you not know what evil will be on the earth. Solomon has been telling us earlier that we never know what's in store for us. We never know when some evil, just calamity, can take away your ability to be generously giving and to bless others. You can never tell that. It's not a guarantee. You never know when that unforeseen disaster may make you dependent yourself. And again, Solomon points to the sinfulness of humanity, the evil, the greed, which will often impact us. It's been interesting, over the last year or year and a half, we've seen a number of building companies actually go into receivership. The amount of people that I've seen who have gone and thought, great, put my big deposit down, my house is going to be built, great. And then the disaster, you can never tell what's going to happen down the track. You can never tell. So Solomon encourages us to be generous, not in a reckless way, but in a giving way. But do not give expecting a return, but to give while you can, because you never know what's around the corner. And I know a number of people gave to the just to the mudslide issue up in PNG, and thank you for that. And we've passed that information, that money, onto Baptist World Aid. It's just been put over to the Baptist Union there. So thank you for those who could give at that period of time. Then in verses 3 and 6, he wants us to be bold. And so we find in verse 3, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. The proverb actually highlights the ifs and what ifs. The ordinary course of nature takes place in everyday life. And so much of nature seems to rest upon the hapstances, the ifs, rather than anyone's willful choice. Many of the hapstances of life determine whether it rains or whether a tree happens to fall, which way the tree will fall. It's interesting, we've seen over this last week some flooding down in Lillardale, and that's a picture of what the lake looked at, and that was down at in the main street of Lillardale at that period of time. Did it rain really heavy? Were we expecting a flood? Not really. It just constantly rained. But what happened? We can never tell. Were we expecting that? No, you can never tell. And that's what Solomon's trying to teach us about. Someone was telling me, well, wasn't expecting it, and I was chatting to someone in the mustard tree saying that they were actually parked down at the village place. It took them 1 hour to leave there and get to Mount Evelyn. It was incredible. But also Lisa, who actually works down at the mustard tree, had her car parked in the mustard tree car park, no, in the village, in the market village car park, went there and thought, oh goodness. So what she did was go for a walk around the lake instead. You can never tell. What are you going to do about it? Lisa just thought, I'm not going to get out of here, so why don't I go and exercise, and walked around the lake. The author points there is not so many things like that are totally out of our control, outside of the realms of choice, and we've got to make sure and do the best, as Lisa did. Verse 4, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. A proverb emphasizing the fact that you're always just watching and waiting for the perfect conditions and timing of things, you'll never accomplish anything. There is a saying, whoever observes the weather forecast won't do anything. I've also heard it said, if you really want to know about the weather, speak to a farmer. Don't look at the ABC weather. It's like you can never tell what is going to happen. We need to be careful focusing too much on the maybes and might have beens. We need to start where we can and recognise how limited our role of knowledge is. Actually, Jesus in Matthew 6, verse 34 tells us, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Then he moves on in verse 5, as you do not know what is in the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. Actually, with advance in modern science, we now know more about such things as a pattern of the trade winds. We actually know more. We also have much more knowledge about prenatal growth. Some, not all, though. But at the times of this proverb, the time when Solomon wrote this, he was writing when nothing was known about these things. They were like a mysteries of life. The point the author is making is that there are things we simply don't understand in life. And one of those things we will never completely understand is the ways and the works of God. In Deuteronomy, we have this. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us. What he's saying is there's some things we do know, but some things God has designed. He is above all. And there's times you just will not understand what is going on. Why did my health go wrong? What was going on there? Gordon can ask that one. Why did this happen? Why? Some things you just won't be able to answer, and God's never promised that you will know. Because God says the secret things belong to the Lord. And Solomon has told us as well. Some things you won't be able to understand and know. You've got to keep on going and keep on focusing upon God. Solomon is not saying then to be reckless. In fact, he's been sharing about wisdom and folly before. Solomon is saying in our wisdom, there are times we just need to do things and start things, even when we don't know the future. You know, there's some ministries, some great ideas have never been started because of too much what if and maybes. We need to add something to this. We need to be mindful that Solomon, when we reminded ourselves, is talking about life under the sun. He's talking about as he looks out, not saying there's no God, but no reference to God. Looking at under the sun. But we need to remember as Christians, as believers, yes, we live with those under the sun, but with a word and relationship with the Lord God who transcends all and actually gives us the Holy Spirit. And we have the privilege, and I'm encouraged in Colossians 3 verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. What he's trying to say is you've got to keep your focus upon God. What is he doing? What's he doing? If you keep your focus on the world, you will keep going down. We have a loving God who wants us focused upon him, be encouraged by him. The closer our walk is with the Lord, the more spiritual understanding we will have and direction we can receive from the Lord God who knows all. Hence our encouragement today to spend 4 weeks, especially in prayer, about the Lord's God's church here at Little Baptist Church. And this is on the small little card. The acrostic goes P, capital P, capital R, capital A is the A part. And we're encouraging you to spend this time, to seek time with God. Spend 4 weeks either by yourself at home or with a partner or with other people, and there's information about that. But spend every day if you can just asking for those things, asking for the future direction of LBC, including pastoral leadership. For the appropriate moment, the moderator to be suggested and appointed. For the makeup of the pastoral search team. For God's preparation of the heart of the next pastor who will be here. God already knows who will be here next. We're just asking him to prepare that road. So we encourage you, join us. The more we pray, the more that we get in and know what God is doing and a close relationship with him especially. Can I encourage you to be involved with that and grab those things at the back before you go. We then find in verse 8, he tells us to be realistic. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. We need to be realistic. Suffering, sorrow, pain, hurt will come to us in some form. Graham and Susan Hughes. Graham and Susan Hughes went up to Queensland to look up for some houses and have a great time. Did Graham think that he was going to have a stroke up in Queensland? No. Was he cared for? Was God there with him? Certainly was. He went to the best hostel in Brisbane you could ever find. And I spoke to Graham on Friday morning. He's doing really well. And he's praising the Lord. He said, If I was going to have a stroke, I was in the best place to have a stroke. The hospital was fantastic. You never know what's coming around the corner. Remember we read back actually last year, you know, in Ecclesiastes 7, verses 3 and 4. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of the fool, the unwise, is in the house of mirth. There are some who try to live actually in a false world, not the world which we live in. A world which Paul tells us, and actually if you read Romans 1, has turned its back on God, and God has given over humanity to their own just desires. We need to remember the days of darkness and learn from them. We need to remember the trade towers. We need to remember the bombings over in Bali. Then be wise. Life is fragile. It doesn't last. There is evil in the world, even some willing to kill themselves for a cause. I was speaking to a lady in the last couple of weeks down at the Mustard Tree who'd been just over in Bali herself, and talking about the recent news of a young woman who was killed. She was actually riding a motor scooter and actually crashed into another motor scooter and actually died when she was over there. We need to be wise. We need to be realistic. Be aware of potential situations which can and possibly could cause us harm. I remember riding on a motor scooter with a friend in Vietnam a few years ago. We wore our helmets the whole time. We didn't ride in busy locations, as you can see. There was one time in Vietnam, I think it was in Hanoi, I think, or Saigon, there was a traffic lights, and there was 100 motorcycles waiting for the red light to change green. If I'd been there, I would have been killed. We wanted to have a go. But we went to a place where it was fairly safe. There wasn't too many around. Our helmets were on. The hardest thing I had, and we had, was a challenge, was trying to go around a roundabout because they're travelling on the other side of the road. It's okay when you're going in a straight line or you're turning a corner, but doing a roundabout and getting off the right way, that's the challenge. So we went through one roundabout and then went out to town, went out somewhere, found a coffee shop. Thank goodness I had a coffee then. Coffee shop, sat down, had a great time, rode back, and it was lovely. We weren't hurt. It's about being realistic and knowing the limitations which you have. Then Solomon ends chapter 11. He wants us to be God-focused. Solomon ends the book, introducing, as he does, he's only done it a couple of times during Ecclesiastes, a reference to God. A focus on him and his judgment. So we find in verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. Do whatever you want to do. But know that for all these, God will bring you in to judgment. This can actually be, and I've read a number of commentaries, this can be read one of two ways. It's either good advice or it's sarcasm. It's either the way which you read. I actually favour the last one. It's the sarcasm, I think. Rejoice, O young man, person in your youth. Solomon is pointing out some facts here that while you are young, you can do these things. that you won't be able to do as you get older. Another time. The season of age is coming. And as we turn into chapter 12, you're going to find some great stuff as he talks about some really weird things about your ears and your sights going and all different things. I love it. I don't love the idea of it, but I love the chapter. And he is perhaps saying, walk in the ways of your heart. There's no thing about consequence. Walk in the sight of your eyes. Whatever you do, see it. Then he adds, but know for all these, God will bring you into judgment. This is the first time that he's mentioned this. God will bring you into judgment. Don't forget God. He's watching, taking account of all things we do, all things we say, all things we think, and you will be judged for it. There is a danger in being led by the heart and what we see. Often what young people feel and see is not the whole story. This note of caution serves the purpose to debunk many of the ways some young people think they can find enjoyment, fun in life, drugs, illicit sex, alcohol, seem to bring enjoyment. Perhaps in the short term they might, but then the dark days are coming and they are of no value. But Solomon also wants to remind us, believer or not, all will be held accountable to God. Everyone will give an account for his or her life to God someday. In your notes, I place two sort of Bible passages. The first one is just a general one in Hebrews 9:27. Just as a man, a woman, is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. An overall one, no matter whether you're a believer or not. 1 Corinthians 3:13 is for us who are believers. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. That's for us. That's saying God expects us to be serving him in a variety of ways. And there'll be some things we do or think that won't be what God would really expect us just to do. And perhaps maybe saying to you, Tony, what on earth were you thinking? You know, the good thing, I like the last bit. If anyone's work is burnt, it doesn't require a reward. He will suffer loss, but he himself, herself, will be saved, yet as through fire. Our salvation is not based on good works. It's based on grace. But the issue is God expects us to be serving him and working with him now. The author encourages the enjoyment of life and youth, following one's hearts and even enjoying things. But never forget that in the end you will give an account of your choices and actions to God. So let this knowledge be a guide. One verse which brings me great relief, can I say, in that way? Because I think of some of things going on in the world and some things which the people go, how did you get away with that? How come you managed to do that? I think they had the 10th anniversary this week of the actual downing of the aircraft, the Malaysian aircraft. How can you get away with doing that? This verse brings me comfort. Romans 12:19, beloved, he's talking to believers, Christians. Do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Bali bombers, child molesters, murderers often get away from the law of the land, and justice is not carried out appropriately. But they are never off of God's hook. Never. So Solomon finishes chapter 11 in verse 10 saying, therefore remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. Remember the good news I shared the other week when we looked at chapter 9 a couple of weeks ago? If you're still alive, and most of you are out there this morning, I can see a couple of you nodding off, but never mind, it's okay. You are alive. Remember there was a saying, a living dog is better than a dead lion. I love that one. I've got to use it somewhere else. I've got to use it somewhere else. What he's really saying is while you're still alive, there is time to say, hey, God, I've suddenly got it. I'm a sinful person in your eyes. Please forgive me. I accept Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for my sin. To repent, to come back to him. The other issue we have still as believers, we have time to serve God in different ways, opportunities. How can I serve you this week, God? What can I do? We have opportunities still while we're still alive. Because God will be spending a little time with us once we get with him and saying, well, what about your Holy Spirit was leading and guiding you just to ring that person up. Why didn't you do it? I was busy. We often have those times, just God's prompting. Take a meal round to someone. Do this, do that. Which we need to take those opportunities especially. So how do we face just tomorrow? Some good advice. Be generous. Money, time, kindness, effort. How are you going to go this week in being a generous person? Be bold. That could be the previous one. If you give, you could give. I don't know how. Who typed that out? Well, that could have been me, actually. Be bold. Do that thing that you've been putting off. Be bold. Go out and do it. Be realistic. But also live in a real world. I was chatting with my son yesterday morning. We were down at Chelsea Beach. It was freezing. And I could have surfed off the shore break. It was like in the bay, you don't often get sort of 3 metre, it wasn't quite 3 metre waves, but they were at least a half a metre wave. And Scott and I were wandering just down the beach. And what was incredible was this guy, he was kite surfing. At Chelsea Beach. He was flying along. And I said to Scott, I wonder if I could have a go at that. Be realistic, be wise. And I said, no, I'm too old. That would hurt. Lots. Be realistic. Where are you now? 30 years ago, we'd had to go. Lynn and I, what's up in Cairns, Lynn? Cairns? We've been parachuting, parasailing. Well, I just don't give it away. No one jumped out of a plane. I'm not into this thing wondering if the parachute's going to come out, but we had the parachute behind us, behind a boat, and it gradually lifted us up gently and gently brought us back onto the back of the boat again. I've been paragliding, parasailing, but that was 30 years ago. I don't think I try it these days. I think it's just those days have gone. But the question is, after some of the tragedies we've seen from week to week, this for some can seem a hard thing to do, to be generous, to be bold, to be realistic. How do we live those ways? But the song we're going to sing in a moment can help us focus on Solomon's last point. Be God-focused and face tomorrow. The song is called Because He Lives. It was actually a song which sort of Grace was one of her favourite songs. And it goes like this. It should go like this. Can you flick that down to me, please, Jenny? Just the next slide. Thank you. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Saviour lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And as we face tomorrow, we need to hold on. Let me finish with a couple of passages to remind ourselves what God wants to say to us. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Romans 8:28 and verse 31, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purposes." 31, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" Can I pray for us? Can I pray for you this week to be people who are bold, to be generous, to be realistic, but to be most of all God-focused? Let me pray. Father, thank you for the words from Ecclesiastes, from Solomon, your servant. Father, please help us this week. Father, we have no idea what this week is going to look like, and it's just as well. But Father, one thing we can hold into place is you are on our side. You are for us. Please help us to face this week, the challenges of this week, perhaps the danger of this week, the harm possibly of this week, but do it with a joyful heart to know that you know it beforehand and you can steer and guide us through these times. Help us to be the generous people that we could be. Not in a false way, but a way that perhaps we sort of can give our money, our time, our efforts. To be bold, to be ready to serve you, to go out and be for you. To be realistic, to know the world we live in, Lord, is not the world that you would want us to be in. To be wise living in this world, the challenges of this world. But Father, help us to be God-focused, to look to you, to have our eyes towards heaven and not towards earth. And in all things, Father, we look to you, know that you are our Saviour and our Lord. And we give you thanks in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. As the singers and musos come forward, we're going to sing this great song, "Because He Lives," for our final song as we end. And at the, I'll be announcing a benediction, which in that prayer card, I encourage you to perhaps read through one of the Psalms. I'm going to read through the beginning of Psalm 1. Then we're going to sing the chorus again, "Because He Lives." Let's stand up and sing this great song, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow."